NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, but most importantly, 39 days to the Women's World Cup. This is Sports Without Balls.
Holy cow! A perfect score. 10.2.
He had to the 2-0, now the 2-1. Line drive!
Hello again, everyone. This is
Sports Without Balls. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Sports Without Balls fans, friends, families, Erin Foley, your host of the most magical sports lady power podcast in America and adjacent. We're back in the All Things Comedy studio in Burbank, California. Go to allthingscomedy.com. New content by the minute, podcasts, stand-up specials, just a lot of fun stuff going on. So a big thank you to All Things Comedy for hosting my sweet labor of love. We got Erin in the booth.
Gold cards.
I mean, they're on fire.
They're doing great.
We're going to get to baseball, and we're going to keep Erin alert throughout this podcast.
All right.
Doubly alert, because let me tell you, people, what's happening with this particular podcast and in the general outlook of the most exciting Sports Without Balls reboot. I had a guest on today. She is a WNBA agent, and then we had a reschedule. So then I shifted gears Saturday morning, and I had the wonderful Sharon Houston. So I did a lot of Dolphins research, and then she got sick about 40 minutes ago.
And the animal, right?
What'd you say?
You're just going to do an entire show on the animal, the Dolphins?
Just the animal, not the football team that she loves.
Yeah, yeah.
So I know a lot about aquatic life, Erin, that I didn't. I started researching whale sharks. So I texted Erin, as I do. I swear to God, he records so many podcasts, but I have to think I'm probably one of the only ones that text you every 20 minutes. And I was like, Erin, I have no guest. Let's just do one. And you always say yes. So yeah. Thank you. And I said, well, that's good, because the last couple ones we've recorded with athletes, I get so nervous and I haven't been able to talk to you. So we've got a full podcast of Erin and Erin back together.
Yeah.
So it's just me. It's the Erin and Erin, and we've got lots of good stuff. We've got I went to a UCLA softball game. We're going to do some women's collegiate softball. We're going to do some fantasy baseball. Erin is going to tell us how good his Cardinals are. We've got mere weeks from the WNBA tip-off, which is going to be so exciting, and we'll go over some draft stuff. Got a killer awesome story about a lady soccer ref, and that'll do it. That's the picture of what's shaking down today in this podcast. Also, I think we all have Game of Thrones hangovers. Erin, are you a Game of Thrones
person? I not only watched Game of Thrones, but I saw Avengers as well.
Oh my God. So, wow. You're on fire.
Not in the same day. That would be way too much.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've seen them all this weekend.
Yeah. I went Killing Eve into Game of Thrones into a half a bottle of wine. And so we'll talk about that too. I have never been more stressed out in my entire life for an episode of television. I had no one to talk to. I was super late, so I had no one to like text. I'm not a weed smoker, but I would have put my head in a bag of weed last night. It was so stressful.
I am so shocked that I didn't have dreams about White Walkers.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. Oof.
That was insane. You know, let's just take a minute and talk about it real quick. If you didn't watch Game of Thrones, I mean, listen, I would say like don't start, because it's 70. I don't know why. I started with it and then I just kept going, which is unlike me. I usually like just kind of dabble in shows and keep it moving because I have so much sports to watch. But I kept going, and I'm always on the other end of the conversation when someone's like, you know, Mad Men or Breaking Bad, and I go, oh God, I've never watched it, and they're like, what do you mean you haven't watched it? But now I can say Game of Thrones, I have every minute. Have you? Did you enjoy last night's epic battle for whatever the building castle's called?
Winterfell.
That's it.
Yes, I did. I enjoyed it a lot.
My only, the battle scenes were totally intense. It was just, you know, we went into the episode, everyone's like, everyone's going to die, right? Yeah. It's the last season. So the whole time you're just waiting for some of your favorite people to die. That's why I was like, I need a sedative.
And it's so darkly lit.
Yes, it was so dark. You couldn't even figure out who died.
Yeah, you couldn't tell if one of your favorite characters was dying. I was like, holy shit, is that?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I think she's okay.
Yeah. Like, the whole time I was just like, I might turn it off when Brienne dies. You know what I mean? Like, the whole time I was like, if my tall blonde kicks the bucket.
What a delight.
Like, I mean, she's the best. And then I thought, oh, they set it up. They knighted her the week before, so she's going to, you know, die.
Yeah.
But then, you know, my only critique, and don't worry, we're going to jump right back into sports. It's just that I haven't talked to anyone about this. was the at the very end, and listen, this isn't a spoiler alert, you know. No, but if you haven't seen it, this isn't whatever. Who you can't possibly get caught up. What's our little power lady?
Arya.
How did she fly? Did she become a
assassin?
How do we see 800 seasons and not see from when she left that room to killing the dude? I was like, you didn't give us anything. That was my only critique.
I love it.
You liked
it
that there was that, it was no just, reveal.
Because I was thinking in my head, I was like, oh, that the Red Witch said something about blue eyes,
right? And I'm like, oh great, and now she dies.
I'm like, oh well, that's the Night King. He's got blue eyes. And then I'm like, and she's out there somewhere. Like, I know she's free and out there, and that little dagger of hers is.
Yeah.
Everyone's been pointing it out for months.
Every
episode, practically. They're like, hey, what's that thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. It'll be around later.
Yeah. And then, you know, it was really fun. And this is also, it's really fun. This is like the same thing almost as sports. And believe me, I take sports 800 times more seriously than Game of Thrones. But, you know, it's just like one of those sporting events that you watch by yourself, right? And you get like so fired up, and then, you know, it's like one in the morning and you're like, oh man, I watched so many like Olympic women's hockey games, and it was like 1 a.m. because it was, you know, wherever it was, Russia, I can't even remember where it was. But, you know, like, I think it was Sochi, I guess. And I just was like, well, who am I going to talk to? And then it was me at 1 a.m. being like, and then I went on Twitter this morning, and there were so many, I didn't even think about it. There were so many, much like a sporting event, like watching parties, like in bars. And I saw these clips of people screaming when she killed the White Devil and, or whatever you call it, White Walker. What's the guy's name? The Night King. The Night King.
Yeah.
And I thought that was absolutely hilarious that people were at bars screaming. And then I thought, God, I might have done that had I known.
Yeah.
I don't think I need to have like that to be that social during Game of Thrones, but,
You know what kind of drove me crazy? And this is so niche and weird.
Yeah.
But like, I don't want to have the volume screaming.
Yeah.
Because my wife, Leah, will complain.
Yeah.
But I also just, I don't hear words all that well all the time.
Yeah.
Considering I work in audio, it's weird. So I put the captions on for everything.
Oh.
Practically everything. And that for whenever they said White Walker or mentioned or it, you know,
yeah.
White scurries around or something.
Yeah.
It was spelled W-I-G-H-T. And that drove me insane.
That's so weird.
It's probably just the person in the caption who's captioning the show does not know the show.
Yeah.
So I don't know. No, it's just
but you would
literally
think that's
white,
like they're,
the
they
color
have,
white.
They have one job.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they're also going like...
So
well,
it's,
there's a lot of British people.
Yeah,
must
no,
be
no.
Spelled weird.
Oh my God, that's so funny. Oh, that would seriously drive me insane.
Yeah.
I mean, I get crazy they're when I send a text and I misspell a word and I lose my mind.
They're not from the Isle of Wight.
No, they are not from the Isle. They are not from Kansas.
Yeah.
Oh, Whitey McWhite.
Yeah, I don't know. I watched that little thing after that where the writers explain some of the reasoning for things.
Yeah. Did they say they left that out for purposely?
Which part?
The how'd she got from the room to killing the...
Oh, yeah. And just the fact that it was her and not Jon Snow and...
Oh, it was so great. Like, no, I mean, this is like, you know, who am I? It was an epic hour and a half of television. Yeah.
But then it's also that parts of the episode transition from full-on battle to now it's this claustrophobic chase around sneaking around a library or whatever. Like... That really messes with the pace and isn't just battle to where you get bored, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah. It was really interesting. No, I mean, it's so funny how people like, again, it's like armchair quarterback, right? You dissect everything. And now I was like, I just want to be like, every time I said, if I said something like, well, I could it. And then I'm like, yeah, Aaron, go out and make an episode of Game of Thrones, you idiot.
Yeah, that's how I feel about my friends who've complained. It's only a couple, but it's just like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah, okay.
So you want more people to die?
Yeah,
or
yeah, come on.
What else would you have done?
Yeah, I just, I mean, the anxiety, it was almost like, you know, watching like a favorite game anxiety.
Game seven.
I have to say, it wasn't even enjoyable until it was over. I really, honestly, God, I don't think I enjoyed myself. I was texting, like, I was just texting a friend who I knew she'd get it the next day, and I was like, I'm 39 minutes in. I'm not functioning as a human being. I had to stop it. I had to take water breaks. Like, it was, it was just, it was a lot. But it was a good way to end the day because, let me tell you what I did, sports fans, and we're right back on track. Look at that. And that was really fun for me, Aaron, because I have not discussed sports, Game of Thrones with anyone yet. I went to a UCLA softball game, and I've been on the road for months now, and every time UCLA plays at home, I'm away. So I had this Utah series. I played a three-game series this past weekend in Westwood at UCLA campus, and oh my God, it was so fantastic. And I know Utah's not that good, and UCLA is number two in the country, but what, it's so fun. And I know I've said this before, but I'm going to keep continuing this. Go watch collegiate softball. I mean, it's so fun. And to be at the game, I mean, you know, whatever sport it is, to go see a live game is the best, because you get so many different fun moments. But this was a fun one, and Aaron, you'll love the ending to this. But there's a really good nerdy fun sports moment, and then I had a little bit of an Aaron Foley dream sequence after. So I'll break down the whole thing.
As long as it doesn't end with a Lorenzo Cain robbing a home run, I'll be fine.
And of course, this is the only year in the past 4 years I've done fantasy that Lorenzo Cain is not on my team. And then we'll do softball right into me. I'm in last place. I've never been in last place in my freaking fantasy baseball team. It's basically everybody's on crutches and eye patches and borrowing. I can't even. So UCLA second. So if you live anywhere around, it doesn't matter if your team is ranked or not. Go see women's collegiate softball. So this is the last month of softball. It probably in the next week or two, it'll be the last rounds of regular season. I think maybe two more weekends of regular season. And then it goes into regional finals, super regionals, and then the World Series of softball, which is in Oklahoma City, which I am glued to the TV every single year. And one of these years, and then forever, I will be going. And that's the, like, something like May 30th, May 31st through June 5th, give or take a day. And that's the World Series. But Oklahoma, number one, UCLA, number two, Alabama. Now, they've come out of kind of nowhere. They're three.
Nick Saban.
I know. I literally, Aaron, when I saw...
I assume he's coaching them as well.
I had heard Alabama was good, right? Because I watched a bunch of collegiate softball on, you know, ESPN, which is exciting that they're putting more and more women's sports on slowly but surely. Probably because collegiate softball is so popular. Insanely popular. Because when you put it on the television and you talk about it, then people start watching it. Yeah. Oh my God. It's not rocket science, people. But Kentucky just dumped Alabama, I think it was this past week. And when I saw Alabama was ranked third, the first thing I was like, God, Nick Saban, I hate Alabama. I screamed that out. I was like, I'm not cheering for Alabama. Washington, which is always perennial all-star, the Washington women are amazing. And I was really, after UCLA got dumped last year, I was all in it with Washington. They made it to the final and lost to Florida State in the final. Arizona's number five. Of course, Jenny Finch started that program, basically put that program on the map, and Arizona's been killing it. Florida State, Florida. Florida's always in it. Louisiana, Tennessee, LSU, Texas, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, South Carolina, and Georgia. Those are your top 15.
No OSU? Oregon State?
No Lady Beavers.
Damn it.
I knew. I should have known that was coming. By the way, they made such a good run in the NCAA basketball.
Yeah, yeah.
They made it to at least Sweet 16. And that coach, God, I love that coach. Oregon State coach is so awesome. So this is exciting. This is very exciting for collegiate softball. So I went to the game yesterday, and I only made my friends go about 45 minutes in advance. So that was exciting. I calmed down. I had a little bit of a ticket panic, and I realized why the tickets, this is specifically for UCLA, Ticketmaster only sells 50 tickets. Now, the stadium probably holds, I'm guessing maybe 300. But there's so many tickets on reserve for players, administration.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that. So like 2 days before, no tickets available. I'm like, oh God, but it's like standby. So then I tweeted at UCLA softball. I'm like, can I get a ticket? And they're like, standby. So luckily I have friends of friends of friends. And my buddy Liz hooked me up because UCLA is doing some sort of benefit in a couple weeks, and they might want me to host the benefit, which would be really exciting.
Yeah.
So Liz hooks me up with tickets, and she's like, you got to meet this guy, Kirk. He's the assistant coach, third base coach. So he leaves tickets for me. So I was like, okay, we've got tickets. We're all set. But I still want to get there at least 45 minutes before and just make sure we have seats and everything's fine. So we go, the stadium's great, tons of Utah support. We're playing Utah, which I always love when other teams have really good support. And you know, Utah's not that good, and they had tons of support, which is super cool. Beautiful stadium. We were just smacking the ball all over the place. We went up by like 4 runs, 5 runs. Here's a couple highlights of the game. There's this big, you know, jumbotron in center field, and they do like, you know, dumb fun videos in between innings and stuff. Well, this one we talked about after the game, because I was like, they have to stop doing this, because I felt so old. Some of the players would, they would start playing, they had headphones on. This is the jumbotron of the UCLA game.
Uh-huh.
They would play like, quote unquote, like an old song.
Oh, geez.
And you know where this is headed, and the players
don't know it.
They did not. Okay, let me just discuss this. It was "I Want to Dance with Somebody" by Whitney Houston.
Oh my!
Like, how do you?
That's a jam.
And the other one was "Vogue" by Madonna. I don't really know where to begin. I mean,
both the title is in the song.
I don't even. It was one of these things where you're like, okay. So Rachel Garcia, who's up for Player of the Year, she was Player of the Year last year. She's our power pitcher.
Also an All Things Comedy employee.
Yes, an All Things Comedy employee. Yeah, it's the same name. So she wasn't pitching. Who was pitching? I had to get my awesome little roster up. Holly Azevedo. She was pitching. So Rachel Garcia, who I live and die for. She's so fun to watch, and she's definitely going to be at least an alternate on the Olympics. She's on the jumbotron, right? So we had one round of this where we're like, oh, this isn't good. Like half the stadium now feels like we're 98, right? So she gets up, you know, whatever. She's on the jumbotron. They play Vogue by Madonna. She's got the earphones, and she's looking around going, I've never heard, I don't know, I honestly have no idea. And she just literally like broke me. She like broke my spirit.
You know what though? Shame on her parents. That's
right.
That's not on her.
I mean, Madonna?
Yeah.
Or no, wait. No, it was two other players that didn't get Madonna. She didn't get Whitney Houston. Now, Whitney Houston, I'm on a deserted island. Who am I taking? I'm taking Whitney Houston. So it was like doubly, like, I was screaming out when she came up to bat. It was Whitney Houston, Rachel. Like I was beside myself.
Wow.
And then we were screaming out, these clips are making us feel terrible. Like we were all just dying laughing. I was at the game with two comics. Of course, we were being total assholes. But that was the only bummer. I was like, please don't play. I know they're all 20. And if I had made some poor decisions in my earlier life, they could be my children, but
still, like 80s on 8 on Sirius, come on, something.
Whitney Houston, Aaron,
yeah.
For the love of God. I'm going to tweet at Rachel Garcia today. Okay,
tweet
so anyway.
Tweet at her parents. Rachel Garcia's mom.
Parents.
At Rachel Garcia dad.
Whitney motherfucking Houston.
Yeah.
All right, so UCLA. All right. So this is just one moment of nerdy softball, and then I'll tell you the story after. So Brianna Perez, she's our shortstop. She's a sophomore. She was a freshman shortstop last year. She's our shortstop this year. But the cool thing was her sister, I think her name was Kylie Perez, was our second baseman last year. She was a senior. So it was such a fun story because, you know, her sister was playing second, and now she's a volunteer coach this year, which was super cool. So Brianna Perez gets up. So she's batting. So Bubba Nichols, which I always argue is one of the greatest sports names of all time. killer softball player. So Bubba Nichols is our leadoff. And we just killed this pitcher the first couple innings. I think it was 4-0 after the first two innings. So Brianna Perez gets up second. And my buddy Ann was with me, and she doesn't watch a lot of softball, so I was kind of talking her through some stuff. So Brianna Perez does lays down. Oh, this is the second time she gets up. She lays down the most gorgeous bunt I've ever seen, sprints it out, beats the throw.
Nice.
Second time she gets up, she does one of those slap hits. And I was like, that's what it's called, right? A slap, right?
Yeah.
So for listeners, it's basically when you're technically, you know, they throw so many rise balls in this game, which is, it's so impossible to hit. Basically the pitch is coming at you, then it's by your eyeballs and you swing at it. And I don't know anybody can hit a freaking rise ball when it's done correctly. So I wanted to ask you this because I know you play softball basically professionally. So I was trying to explain to Ann, so this is twofold, but I was trying to explain to her that, a lot of players, you know, use, I always call it the Ichiro move. You know, they're trying to run, you have to kind of.
They get in a running start.
They get a little bit of a running start. Your foot can't leave the batter's box.
Yeah.
And they're trying to get to the ball before it either goes up or goes down, right? Isn't that
yeah,
like,
I would think
and just
so, yeah.
And just kind of slap to like third base side and sprint,
yeah.
Right? So I was trying to, you know, describe her that. And then she said, oh, which I thought was a really good question. Oh, is she not a good hitter? And is she just like using her speed, right? And I said, well, yes and
it
no.
Still
I mean,
it takes incredible amount of coordination to do that.
It's
I can't do it at all in slow pitch. I can't.
Yeah.
I know people who can walk up and hit and just, no, I can't do it.
So I said, not necessarily, you know what I mean? Like, you know, when we were growing up and you had your eighth hitter, or your ninth hitter, which is usually me because I played fast pitch and then we moved to a slow pitch town and I couldn't freaking hit the ball to save my life, but I could catch everything. So I was like batting eighth, you know? So I would just try to like literally get the bat on the ball and run. But I said, I said to her, and this is leading up to this moment, I said, you know, honestly, not necessarily, like maybe she just thought she could get on or whatever, right?
Yeah. It depends on the scenario.
It depends on the scenario.
It's
a
strategic move.
Yeah. So I was like, maybe, you know, you got a slow third baseman, you know, I said, it really depends on the, I was like, it kind of depends. And I looked at her and this is probably like, you know, 1 o'clock. The game started at 12, so we had another like hour to go. And I said, honestly, like I was like a little bit surprised. I said, I only have seen her 1 year. You know, she only has only played 1 year, but she's like a really good hitter. So, you know, I don't know.
It could be something she's working on for the future because they're playing Utah.
Yeah, true,
you know,
true,
like
right?
It's like doing an open mic. You know?
Yeah, I mean, we had already beaten Utah handedly Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
And we were up literally, I think we were up like maybe 7-0.
But also if you're not a power hitter, you know, it helps to just embrace that fact.
Yeah.
And find a different way to contribute.
Yeah.
And that's how the major league baseball
exactly,
used to be.
On every level, right? So, but I turned to her, I was like, well, not necessarily. Like, I think she's actually like a really good hitter. So maybe like, who knows? I didn't really know the answer. So because she bats second. So now we're at the bottom of the fifth. The game is just great. We, you know, saw a lot of hits, you know, seven runs. It was so fun. So bottom of the fifth, Bubba gets on and someone else got on who led off like eighth or ninth position. Then Bubba gets on. So we got two ladies on. And Brianna Perez comes up. So I was like, all right, you know, I was like, well, I said to Anna, let's see if she, you know, if she slaps it again. You know, we were just kind of focused on Perez. The pitch comes in. She freaking cranks the ball, 3-run home run. Wow. I mean, smacks the crap out of it over. She's lefty, sails over the right field wall. And I'm screaming. Everyone's pouring out of the dugout. And that's when I realized, oh, 10-run rule. She just cranked a 3-run homer. They stopped the game mercy rule. If it's after, I think you have to,
Seven probably?
No.
Or they only play seven.
They only play six. But I think it's after five.
Yeah.
So if you were even on like the top, I don't know. I can't remember. Maybe it's four, whatever. After a certain number of
innings. Five would make sense.
Would make sense, right?
Yeah.
So she smacks a, like, it's funny because it was like a game winner, but it wasn't a game winner. It was like a game ender.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd ever seen that before, right? It was just like one of these unique circumstances. Seven, you're up 7 runs, 2 men on, cranks a 3-run homer, bat flip, bye-bye, good night, Utah. It was like a walk-off game.
It's a walk-off, but not quite the same.
Yeah, it was just one of these things where I was like, that's such a unique, I have never seen that one before, like a walk-off slash game ender 3-run home run when you're up by 7.
Yeah, I've seen it certainly in slow pitch, but. Yeah, it's not the same.
It was so fun.
It's a close ball game.
I could have used another, another inning because I just, those games, I want them to last 14 innings. It was so fun. But it was awesome. The place went berserk. Everyone comes out of the dugout. It was so great. We're screaming, high-fiving. Just so fun. Just such a fun game. And here's part two of the awesomeness of yesterday. So... I'm waiting to meet Kirk, the assistant coach. Now he's been he went to UCLA. He was a coach for a long time, then left, and I think he actually coached at Oregon State. Now, bizarrely enough, I think that's full circle. And then in the last maybe 7-8 years, he's been assistant coach at UCLA. So I am planning to meet him after the game, but in my back pocket, I thought, oh my God, if there's any way I could parlay into meeting Lisa Fernandez. Now, if you listen to the show on the regular, if not, stay tuned because we've got a lot of great stuff planned. I've, lifelong fandom of Lisa Fernandez. Now, if you don't know who Lisa Fernandez is, she's won 3 gold medals in the Olympics for softball, 2 UCLA championships, voted on as the best collegiate softball player of all time. Now, you could argue after that, there's probably 3 or 4 that you could have a really awesome nerd fest argument of who's the greatest softball player of all time. I hate those discussions. But this is how good Lisa Fernandez is. She is the first base coach of UCLA. So last year when I went to see UCLA, I was like, you guys, does anybody realize that Lisa Fernandez is like 10 feet away from us? And they're like, who? I'm like, I can't. So a couple months ago when I decide, all right, I want to start, just doing interviewing female athletes and coaches and journalists and sort of making that more of a focus, I reached out to Lisa Fernandez and we went back and forth on email. And I was like, I am emailing with Lisa Fernandez.
Wow.
Which, of course, is just totally nerdy and just so exciting. So then I I was like, well, I could come to you or you could come to the studio. And then she didn't respond after that. But it was, again, middle of the season. So I just put in my Excel spreadsheet, because I have one. I wrote in the thing, like, follow up after the season, because I don't want to, like, bother her in the middle of the season, right?
Totally.
So that's the backstory on that, right? So then, the whole thing was super fun for a myriad of different reasons. So then people are clearing out, and this was so fun. They're like, so I went to the guy that's like, kind of policing the area, and I said, oh, I'm supposed to meet Kirk. Where do I meet him? And he's like, oh, just wait, because on Sundays, all the kids can go on the field and the players sign autographs. Aaron, I almost started crying. I was like, that's so, and also this is going to be a tide for the feel good moment of the week. It was so adorable. All these little girls at the game wearing like uniforms themselves went on the field and signing balls, signing jerseys. I was like, oh my God, this is the best. Like, these are, I mean, UCLA's number two in the country. These athletes, you know, they're on full scholarship. Their whole lives are, I'm sure, you know, trying to balance academics, obviously, but this is it, you know, and they're, some of them are going to be playing in the Olympics. Some of them are going to be playing, you know, trying out for our professional fast pitch leagues. And it was so exciting because, you know, growing up, I always say this, like, there, I didn't see any of that, you know? So just to be like a little girl being like, oh my God, I can do this. Here's the path. Like, I can go to, if I play so hard and I work really hard, I can go to college, play, you know, and just, even just to be a collegiate, if you were literally the highlight of your career was a collegiate softball athlete. I mean, that's amazing. So that was just so great. So then I'm like waiting for Kirk and, so then I meet him with my friend Anne, and we're chatting, and then I meet this woman who's, she does all the operations. She's the operations manager for UCLA softball and UCLA gymnastics. She was super cool, and we're talking about, you know, softball, and you know, they don't know me from a hole in the wall. They just know I do comedy, and I was like, well, I have this podcast where I'm just doing female athletes, and then, of course, I put in, like, some really nerdy softball stuff, you know? And she was like, oh, you know what you're talking about? Because I was like, oh, it was really cool to see, is it Azevedo? Yeah, to see Azevedo pitch today, because last year I thought everybody, you know, we just relied too much on Rachel Garcia, and like her by the end, the last game, the woman's arm was about to fall off. And she looked at me, she goes, oh, you do know what you're talking about. I was like, oh, I'm a super fan. So we all start talking, and Kirk's like, all right, so, you know, we're going to talk about, like, you know, the benefit and maybe me hosting this benefit and helping out. And so I just was like, I was like, Aaron, I've got to go for it. You know, I was like, oh, I said, so it's so funny because I, you know, I was actually emailing with Lisa Fernandez about being on the podcast, and I was going to follow up after the season. Like, I'm just like such a huge fan of hers. And I said, Kirk, I know you're a phenomenal softball coach. I go, but like, you know, as a woman, like those are your, you know, some of your heroes, you know? And he goes, oh, you got to meet her. And I was like, oh yeah, sure. Let me just meet Lisa Fernandez. So he goes, oh, I bet she's on the field. So I get to go on the field. So we go on the field, and I'm freaking out because I'm on the field. And this, like, Kirk and this, oh God, I forget her name. She's so great. Claire. So they're looking at me like I'm like an alien, right? Because I'm like, this is what you do every day. But for a sports fan, just to be on like a field is just so exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was like, well, this, you know, because the field's gorgeous. And I said, well, this is so fun because as an adult, like after Dodger games and after, I'm sure, a lot of MLB ballparks, they go, stay. If you're a kid, you can run the bases. Yeah, yeah. And we've talked about this on this podcast before. I'm like, when can the adults run the bases? Like, how wouldn't you love to run the bases at Busch Stadium?
Absolutely.
I mean, come on.
We got a big group together after our wedding to go to a Dodger game. So every year I get these group invites to go to Dodger Stadium and go on the field before the season even starts.
Yeah.
And I did it last year and played catch in the outfield and, you know, walked around in the infield. It was,
it's
incredible.
Yeah.
For someone who plays in these shitty park leagues, like, it's like, oh, this is how the greatest players in the world play.
Yeah.
And it's, everything's flat. It's lovely.
Yeah. I have to do that.
I threw a ball that bounced over the fence.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's just a huge thrill no matter what ballpark you're in, you know, because, you know, for me, you know, that was my first sport. I started playing softball. That was my first love was baseball and softball. And, you know, I wound up playing basketball most of my life, and in college, but to me, you know, a game of catch, there's no beating just having a game of catch,
no.
You know? And baseball, I always think, and softball, both sports are my favorite thing to watch live. And anyway, so it was a huge thrill to be on the field. And then all of a sudden, here comes Lisa Fernandez. And I just was like, just remain calm. Just take a deep breath. She's just like a human being. And she comes over and Kirk goes, oh, this is Erin Foley. She's probably going to host this event for us. And she's a comedian. And she looks at me. She goes, oh, you're the comedian with the podcast. And I go, yeah, we've been emailing. I said, I didn't want to bother you because I know it's like during the season. I was going to follow up after the season. She goes, oh, she goes, you know, honestly, I'm sorry I didn't respond to your last email. She goes, I thought you were joking. meanwhile, I'm trying to remain calm that I'm even talking to like the greatest softball player of all time.
Yeah.
I go, what do you mean joking? She goes, well, you know, softball's not really like, you know, it's supported, but I thought like, oh, maybe, she goes, I don't understand sarcasm. And she goes, remember, Kirk, I was talking to you about this. And he's like, yeah, I remember. And she's like, I wanted to do it. But then I thought, well, you know, oh, are they going to be like making jokes at softball expense and, you know, stereotypes of people that play softball? And I got really nervous and I thought, maybe I shouldn't do this. I literally was like, how do I said, no. I've done 240 of these. Like, all I want to do is highlight your story and highlight women's softball. And, you know, I love this team and I've been following your whole career. And last summer I was like, oh my God, Lisa Fernandez is 10 feet away. And she goes, oh my God, that would be so fun. That's so great. Like, this is a conversation I had with Lisa Fernandez.
Wow.
It was epic. It was wonderful. And she goes, and I said, she goes, honestly, I'd love to do it. I'd love to do your podcast. So I was like, do I pass out now or do I remain conscious? And so I said, well, no, I know, we're right in the middle of the season. You got a couple weeks left. You know, I'll hit you up after the season. She goes, you don't have to wait till the season's over. We can do it. And I was like, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. So that was a pretty exciting day in sports for Erin Foley.
Wow. That's awesome.
So fun. Like, she's just so cool. And I do want to just take a second and say, you know, we're working really hard behind the scenes to start interviewing all these female athletes and coaches. And I've done four. I've got three more lined up, and we're going to launch on Tuesday, June 4th. And that's going to be the new focus of the show. But also, I'm going to continue to talk about every sport there is. And I'll just do extra podcasts and we'll put them up on patreon.com. And if you want to go on patreon.com/sportswithoutballs, there's always there's going to be a ton more content, because I figured the plan is going to be like every week I'll air a really awesome interview with a female athlete or a coach or a journalist. And then, you know, if I'm watching NBA playoffs or whatever it is I'm watching, I'll do a separate podcast and put it up on Patreon. That's sort of how it's shaken down. So I just want to thank everyone for their patience, because it's been a little bit hit or miss the last couple of weeks, and it'll be a little bit hit or miss the next couple of weeks. But put Tuesday, June 4th down on your calendar, and that's when we're going to start firing up all the these awesome interviews. So, yeah, Lisa Fernandez on deck.
Wow.
That was a double pun.
I just got a text that Babe Ruth also wants to come on.
Ah, Babe Ruth. Is he still playing? Is he still playing? I bet that's we crazy. Could get like, you know who I follow on Twitter, and a friend of a friend knows her, and I know she's going to, I can get her in New York, is Yogi Bear's granddaughter.
Yeah. She was on Munish's podcast, yeah.
Oh, was she? Oh, yeah. So Munish knows her, and my buddy Paul knows her. So we'll get her on this podcast.
Awesome.
Anyway, softball, I love it. And how's your season in a nutshell?
Well, I'm playing in three different leagues.
Holy crap.
By pure circumstance, I have lost 10 games in a row.
Wow.
Between those three leagues.
Wow.
After starting off well in two of the three. So it's been pretty rough.
Is your team name the Rockford Peaches? Because, boy, your softball teams and my fantasy baseball teams are not great.
No, it's, you know, it's the old gnarly hustle.
Oh, nice. Wait, what are your team names?
Gnarly Hustle.
Nice.
Pizza Party.
Fun.
Because that's all we're in it for.
Okay, cool. I like that. Does the team name resonate with the spirit of the team? Like, does Pizza Party fit
for sure?
Spirit?
Gnarly Hustle does.
Yeah.
Pizza Party's newer, so it's just the first season.
Figuring out. Yeah. What's the third one?
It's a team that I joined, so it's called Courtesy Caterers, because they're from Kansas City. KC.
Lame.
Get it. Yeah, it's not.
Come on. Are they cater waiters? Because that's fun.
Well, they've been a team since 1984.
Okay, well, all right, I'll give it to them.
Yeah.
They've got longevity.
Yeah, I was two.
Here's, I was older than that. I know Whitney Houston. Oh my God. One day I'm going to hang out with Rachel Garcia, and I'm going to give her a mixtape of Whitney Houston. And she's going to be like, is this a cassette? Are you 89? And I am.
Was she at least enjoying it? Like, not recognizing it, but going, oh, man, this is a jam.
I was having an out-of-body experience because she's my favorite player. So I think she was just like, it almost looked like she was slightly disgusted. Oh. But I think she was just trying to figure it out. And is the greatest player. So I'm going to give her a free pass. But holy crap balls. All right. So here's a Peaches update. My buddy Liz and I are co-managers. Shout out to Liz. She listens to the show and she's great. And I feel bad because she's like, it's all my fault. And I say, yeah, it is. But I'm joking. Half our team is already gone. I mean, I just drafted these players 3 weeks ago. But usually, last season, the injury bug for me, I was in first place. The injury bug happened to me at a crucial time, like beginning of August. And I wound up holding on to fourth and making the playoffs. But Judge went down. Like, everybody went down. Ramos went down. I had a bunch of trades. But this year, I've never experienced a season like this. So my keepers were Andujar, rookie of the year. That's my rookie keeper. He hasn't played one game. In fact, I had six people on the injured reserve list and it looked like he wasn't even going to come back for 3 months. I had to literally cut him.
Yeah.
I had to cut my rookie keeper. Now it looks like he might have avoided surgery and maybe that was a bit premature, but I would have kept him.
Still, you need to fill that spot.
I literally didn't have enough players to like field a team.
Yeah.
So
who did you pick up?
I picked up Clint Frazier, who was on fire.
Yeah.
And now he's on the injured reserve.
Yep.
So then I picked up, Christian Stewart, injured reserve. Clint Frazier, injured reserve. Andujar had a cut. Aaron Judge, injured reserve. Mm-hmm. Cano's been in and out of injured reserve. Goodrum just got back on the team. And then my first two, so then my other keepers were Aaron Judge, okay, injured. Andujar, injured. Jose Ramirez, who's been the crowning jewel of the Peaches. He's batting 188.
Yeah, he's off to a rough start.
He's batting 188. Mm-hmm. Manny Machado batting 242. Just recently improving slightly, having a terrible season. My first two picks, Aguilar, right? Should be a solid pick.
Wait, who? Jesus?
Jesus Aguilar.
From the Brewers?
First base.
Yeah, sorry.
Batting 123.
Yeah.
He's literally batting 123. Yeah. .123.
Mm-hmm.
Puig, now, he's going to heat up. I'm not worried. I'm not worried about Puig, but he's batting 198.
Wow.
These are my all-stars. These are literally my all-stars. I had to pick up. These are the people I picked up. These are people I picked up. Kiermaier, Alex Gordon, Nunez from Baltimore. I've never even heard of this guy, but he's kind of on fire, or was. Now he hasn't hit anything since I picked him up. Adam Frazier. Oh, also Dickerson, gone for like 2 months. Had to cut him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, so then I picked up Christian Walker. He's been great, batting .316, but I'm sure he'll plummet.
Is that the guy in Arizona?
Yeah. I had to pick up Mitch Moreland. I had to pick up Mitch Moreland.
And he's platooning anyway.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Sorry, Liz. I know you're a baseball. I know you're a Red Sox fan. Sorry about Mitch Moreland. You know, I'm just trying to like stop the bleeding. And then,
and it's a tough year to pick up a Red Sox.
And then my pitching has been like, pitching I'm always much more patient with, you know? Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's just injury after injury after injury. And some of them are coming down. I had a cut two of them. One of them is not playing for the rest of the year. I didn't remember that one. CeCe's on fire. I get him and he gets dumped by the Angels. Oh. You know what I mean? It's just one of these seasons where I'm like, I don't even know what to do with myself.
Yeah.
Darvish is coming around. Bumgarner, Mikolas has been like, eh.
Yeah, yeah. He's leaving a few too many balls up in his own.
Chasen's been, you know, we're talking 4 own runs, 3, 5, you know what I mean? So it's just been.
He'll come around.
I just think they're going to come around. They'll come around. Everyone will come around. Kyle Freeland doing great. Then out with the blister. Now he's back.
Yeah.
This is what I'm talking about. It is very difficult managing the peaches this year.
Yeah.
But here's a bright spot coming up. The WNBA season's gonna start soon. My Lady Hoops are starting soon. And then, of course, 39 days to the Women's World Cup, which is really exciting. WNBA draft. We didn't cover the draft. The draft was awesome. Okay, so it's going to the WNBA, I forgot to look up exactly when they're starting, but I think they're probably going to start in about 3 weeks. It's the end of May the WNBA starts. Here's some really good women's hoop news. CBS Sports, I don't know if you saw this one, Aaron. CBS Sports signed a multi-year deal with the WNBA.
Cool.
They are going to show, of course, I don't have it pulled up, and Carol didn't even make it today. I can't. She's on a vacation, whatever. She's in a loony bin. No, she's not. She's in dry dock. She's sobering up. The CBS Sports is going to air something like 80 or 90 more games. I made up that number, but it's a great number of games. So you can stream it on the WNBA app. ESPN is like 40 or 50 games. Now CBS Sports has a 70, 80 games. And nice. They're going to figure out like regionally which one gets, you know, what game. This is huge for the WNBA.
Yeah.
Did you know... WNBA fans, and this was so calming to me because, you know, my pure panic that that sport's going to get taken away from me. The viewership was up 30% last year.
Wow.
30%. And who's that guy? Duke motorcycle accident. Jason Williams. Jason Williams. Because you know you need support from our NBA players. Jason Williams had a great little video blog for ESPN being like, Adam Silver, NBA, double down on WNBA. The viewership is off the charts. And now we're doing a whole new collective bargaining agreement. So the players union is fighting on behalf of salaries. Because what's happening simultaneously, the viewership is now skyrocketing. More support in these arenas, but the problem is the pay now is still so bad that all the players are now going, you know, to Europe for these lucrative contracts, and they're getting hurt. And so this year alone, Breanna Stewart. So this was also, you know, these contract agreements were, you know, being made in the last couple months, right? But Breanna Stewart, you know, our crowning jewel of the Seattle Storm, they won the championships last year, phenomenal UConn player, blew out her Achilles 3 weeks ago in the European Championships. Huge, huge blow to Seattle. And then the big trade news a couple days ago, Chinny Agwumike. Now, NECA, her sister on the Sparks, is top three of my favorite all-time players. She's reunited with her sister, Chinny. Chinny also is an ESPN analyst, so they moved her from Connecticut to L.A. for a 2020 first-round draft pick. This is huge for the Sparks. But the last two out of the three seasons, Chinny hasn't even played because of injuries she's gotten abroad. I think it was Achilles and a knee. So this is a huge concern, you know, like you want your top players. If the viewership's going up, NBA hopefully is going to, you know, Jason Williams, really go out and watch that if you're WNBA fans, because he made all these amazing points of support WNBA. It's such a great product. Double down. This is, you know, advertisers, get on board, because it's, you know, it takes a gazillion years for these leagues to really get. I think the NBA has been around like 80 years or something like that.
Yeah.
In the first 20 or 30 years, it was struggling. Well, the WNBA has been around 23 years. You know, where you just it takes a long time. And of course, women's sports barely supported. So this is a really, really big deal. So it's going to be really interesting to see if we can. I read a really good article, one guy saying maybe there can be some supermax salaries. You know, I think the base salary for the NBA is something like 850 grand, and ours is 80 grand. Isn't that insane?
I'm shocked the NBA is that low, to be honest.
Well, no, that's like
just because of
bare bones salary.
I know, but still, yeah. There's only 12 guys on a team.
True. Like,
It's yeah. crazy how much they make.
And, you know, it's hard to compare. I don't want to compare. But, you know, it's just that bad was what I'm saying. It's you know.
I mean, 80 is nothing to scoff at, but for pro athlete, it's low.
Yeah, but then, you know, totally. You know, I think that's great. But, like, then they go over to Russia and they make a million, you know, yeah, and then they blow out their Achilles. You know what I mean? And they also have to play year-round. I mean, the NBA season, don't get me wrong, extremely long, arduous. Those guys are phenomenal athletes. They put out a fantastic product on the floor. I mean, I prefer collegiate men's basketball, but, you know, those guys are just, you know, the playoffs are on right now. That's just phenomenal basketball. But for the women, it would be awesome for these star players to be making, you know, $400,000 or $500,000 so they could stay, stay and not play in Russia and Turkey and China year round and be so exhausted by the time the WNBA season starts. But anyway, baby steps. But, and also I would just like to get the Liberty out of a nursing home in Westchester and get them into Brooklyn. That would also be a huge thing because, you know, these stars are needed. Tarazi's out for an injury, 4 to 8 weeks at least. Maya Moore, she's got, you know, her religious pilgrimage, which I respect that. I just want her to find God in the off season and please play because I love you. Then you've got, what's her name from Dallas, Diggins, she's having a baby. So she's, I mean, you know, just it, stuff happens, but these are some of the stars. So, that's going to be really interesting, but the WNBA season is going to be, oh my God, it's going to be so exciting because the talent coming out of college is just, I mean, Jackie Young goes to Las Vegas, Asia Durr goes to New York, Tierra McCowan goes to Indiana, Katie Lou Samuelson, is going to play for Chicago. Arike is in Dallas. Nafisa Collier goes to Minnesota. I mean, Kalani Brown goes to the Sparks. And then we also got Mabry from Notre Dame at the Sparks. I mean, it's going to be. Alana Smith goes to Phoenix. Inigwe from Berkeley went to Connecticut. I mean, these sharpshooter Kara Leslie, she went to the Mystics. I mean, these are just so. It's going to be such a great season. So heads up, in May, you've got the start of the WNBA. You've got collegiate softball, regional, super regionals, World Series. And then we sort of decided before we got rolling here that I think I'm going to start diving into the hockey playoffs because hockey playoffs are super fun. I got to pick a team. Maybe I'll pick a team right now on air. Because when, you know, well, I mean, the Islanders are in it. Maybe I should just, let's see. Okay, games. All right, we got St. Louis is playing Dallas. Who are the teams in it? Okay. Well, Columbus, that's kind of feel good, even though they took care of Tampa Bay. So we've got San Jose Sharks, Colorado, Columbus, Boston, Carolina Hurricanes, New York Islanders, St. Louis Blues, Dallas Stars. All right, who are you picking? I'm not saying to win. I'm saying to cheer for. Are you going to go with your St. Louis team?
No, I'm not from St. Louis. I don't have any allegiance. I would say it's about time the Sharks win something. They're always
one of the best teams. Wait, no. I thought they won it like a year or two ago.
No.
No?
No, they always seem to choke.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll go with the San Jose Sharks, keep it in California. And I'm going to go with, obviously, my Islanders. I didn't even know the island. It's funny because, and also they've been booted out of Long Island. So I do believe they're playing in Brooklyn. And they beat Pittsburgh, and I don't like them. So I'll go with San Jose and Islanders. Hockey playoffs are super fun.
Yeah.
Super fun. Also, if you're a women's ice hockey fan, this is a really interesting offseason because the Canadian Women's Hockey League unfortunately folded. But I think in maybe a really wonderful way for women's hockey, it looks like they're going to maybe hopefully expand our National Women's Hockey League and maybe grab teams from Montreal and Toronto.
Wow.
And that would be really exciting, you know, just to like keep solidifying. And then we get all these great, amazing Canadian women's hockey players on the existing team. So
absolutely.
I'm just, I'm really cheering for that. I think that might be everything I had on tap. I also would like to thank everybody for emailing and texting me condolences to the New York Giants NFL football draft. So Thanks. Thank you. It was whatever. I don't even care anymore. All I care about is getting Lisa Fernandez on this podcast. Feel good moment of the week. Did I forget anything, Aaron?
I mean, we were going to talk about how good the Cardinals are doing.
Oh, yes. But, no. I want to talk about that. Well, you give us your pitch, and then I'll do feel good moment of the week.
I mean, how can you go wrong? The feel good story of Adam Wainwright refinding himself at age 37.
Spiritually fastball, or on the, no, on the field?
He's always been a super Jesus guy. But, you know, he's had some rough years due to injury and still recovering from those. And last year was almost lost. And then he came back at the very end and, you know, it looked like he was going to go out having done some great things. And they re-signed him in October before free agency even began. And him and Yachty still playing together, like after their entire careers.
That.
I mean, it's insane.
Yeah.
Yachty, after this last start, Yachty's like, he's my ace. And it's just like, I wanted to cry.
Oh my God, that's awesome. I have to say, honest to God, you know, I love Molina.
Yeah. There couldn't be two better guys.
And Wainwright, honest to God, there's like probably 10 players off the top of your head that you're like, you just cheer for. I've always cheered for Adam Wainwright. I have no connection to the Cardinals whatsoever, except through you. Yeah. And I'm dying to go to Busch Stadium. Like, I really, really want to get to that ballpark.
Yeah.
Just the history alone is unbelievable. But, Wainwright and Molina are just, you know, it's like those Boston days where I'm like, I can't stand the Red Sox, but I'm like, I'll give you Nomar. I'll give you freaking Veritek. But then I found out I don't think he's the greatest, but you know, there's some players where you're just like, oh, all right. Yeah. So Wainwright, Molina, that's like a done. But
yeah,
you guys got some.
I mean, Jordan Hicks throwing absolute fire out of the bullpen.
He's fun.
You know, unseating Aroldis Chapman. Well, that's always good.
No problem there with that. No, I just want to.
He's also type 1 diabetic, so that's a huge.
Oh wow,
huge,
I didn't know that.
You know, he's very vocal about it and. It's getting the word out about it. You know, he's a professional athlete and he's type 1 diabetic. So
that's so awesome. I absolutely love that. And anything that can be for like a higher cause when they have those platforms and they do it for good is super awesome. Yeah. You guys are good.
Yeah.
And there's some bad Cubby press about they're trying to squash bad press about Addison Russell. Oh, come on. Did you read that?
No, I haven't read that. But
he beat up his wife. What do you want? Would you want me not to report on that?
Yeah, it's
gross.
Disgusting.
It's so gross. I'm like, listen, the Cubs organization. Come on, they're supposed to be like this class act. Come on, get your shit together. It's so lame. I really hope that writes itself some kind of way because you know, the Cubbies are always feel good, and now I'm like, no. Not so much.
Yeah. I mean, I
hope I'm not reading all of that wrong, but.
Yeah. I mean, it was interesting when they decided to keep him around and they're like, he's our guy. He needs help. We're getting him help.
Yeah.
He's taking all the steps. But.
Which I will give you that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you know, as a woman, your first instinct is.
Yeah,
I'm done.
Of course.
You know, I'm done.
Yeah.
And I will forever be done with Addison Russell.
Yeah. But absolutely.
But also, and I specifically speak this to the NFL too, because it's set up to fail. I mean, you want these guys to be gladiators popping opioids. What could possibly happen when they go back to their house?
Mm-hmm.
You at the end of the day, I don't want one more woman, including his wife or now maybe ex-wife, I don't know,
ex-wife.
You know, hurt. You know, I don't want him to ever do it again. So giving him support and anything you could possibly give him for him to right that wrong, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Oh, my God. Yeah. It's not like I'm never going to cheer for him ever as a player ever again. But as a human being, I will cheer for him not to ever lay a hand on another woman ever again.
Yeah.
So and that does require therapy and support. And all of that. So that to me is that's only helping women, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to help the man for you to help the woman. So, you know, that I'm 100% behind. It's just, there's a lot of people to cheer for and I don't need to be cheering for him.
Yeah. But you can't suppress
come on,
the media's coverage of it. It's important.
It's important because if someone reads it and goes, even for the worst reasons of like, oh, I'm going to get bad press if I hit a lady. Well, it's still stopping you from hitting a lady.
Yeah. Or,
right. You know what I mean? Like, or
yeah,
like,
or
learning,
a fan of the Cubs is like, I have these anger issues.
Yeah.
And here's a guy who's addressing them. You know, we don't really know.
Yeah. Hopefully addressing them. Yeah.
That could do nothing but good. Or,
yeah.
Or a wife of someone who's going through that and is like, I need to get out just like she did.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not all bad. This coverage is just coverage. It's just information and you wanted to lead it to good. I just, that did not sit well with me.
Yeah.
Feel good moment of the week. This is kind of just super, super awesome. French woman, Stephanie, are you ready for my French, Aaron? Stephanie Frappard. Nailed it. Stephanie, Frappart. In America or in English, let's just make that clear, Frappart, but it's probably Frappard. First female referee to officiate a League One match when she took charge of the match between Amiens and Strasbourg on Sunday. Men's professional soccer. She, the second woman to do it. First French woman. So the first woman, I think it was like a league. It says, Frappart is not the first woman to officiate a top-flight men's game in Europe. Germany's Bibiana Steinhaus became the first woman to officiate a match in 2017. So I'm not sure of the leagues, right? There's so many leagues. So hard. But anyway, Stephanie Frappart became the first female ref to officiate a League One match and the only referee from France who will be officiating at the Women's World Cup.
Wow.
From June 7th to July 7th. Also the first woman to officiate a League Two second tier match. Sunday's match ended 0-0, but she was kept busy booking four players and all three of whom were from Strasbourg. Strasbourg manager Thierry Lory said she did a good job and had no issues with the 35-year-old's officiating. I had no worries before the game about the fact that Mrs. Frappart will referee us, and in my opinion, has not changed. It's very good she was able to reach a high level. She's doing really well. Super cool.
Yeah.
Super awesome. And now we have another fantastic, awesome role model for women, French women, European women, women all over the world to be like, I can be a ref in the highest level of men's and women's soccer. So that was awesome. Some of these things are just, you know, in the lens of American news. So it was really awesome to see this kick-ass French lady officiating in the highest leagues possible, and we'll be looking forward to see her ref in the Women's World Cup, although she should not be allowed to ref in the French games. We are on course. The U.S. is on course to play France in the quarter. So Stephanie, sit that one out, but congratulations.
Recuse yourself.
Recuse yourself, like all of Trump's cabinet. Recuse yourself. But congratulations, that's super feel good. I am also going to say the runner-up is seeing all those little girls run onto the field and get autographs from the UCLA softball players. That was so awesome and fantastic. Aaron, we just crushed it.
Yes.
Thank you for being wonderfully supportive and chiming in and being awesome.
I try.
You're the best. And your dog is the greatest dog of all time.
It's possible.
A couple quick announcements. I will be gone for the next couple weeks. I'm going to be, Aaron, I'm doing my first military tour.
Ooh.
I'm doing a USO tour.
Can't see, but I'm saluting.
I've never done a tour like this before. And so I'm really excited. I'm really quite nervous. Undisclosed locations. And that's always been my joke. I'm always like, I'm in an undisclosed location. And it's usually like, you know, Ruskin, Florida with my parents. But these are truly undisclosed locations. Some in the Middle East and one country in Africa. And so I leave this Friday for a couple of weeks. So I will be posting some of my favorite Sports Without Balls episodes the next 2 weeks. And that's announcement number one. Announcement number two, New York City, I will be doing a show at Gotham Comedy Club in 2 days, May 1st at 8 o'clock in New York City. This episode will drop tomorrow if you by chance live in New York, at Gotham Comedy Club at 8 o'clock. It's a fun gay show, but it's straight and gay, but it's called Homocomicus. So, just, you know, it's pretty gay. Gay and gay adjacent. But the wonderful and amazing Judy Gold is closing out the show, and she's a powerhouse. So it's New York City military tour. And just again, just a fun thanks for all your support and listenership as we kind of do more focus on female athletes and their stories and journalists and coaches. You know, we're going to be posting really fun episodes that I've already recorded for the next couple weeks. And then I'll be back the week of May 20th. I'll do a kind of a recap of the last couple weeks of sports. And then before you know it, the new season will kick off on June 4th. And I'll make one more announcement in a couple weeks. But I have a new album coming out called Deep Dive. And the pre-sales, let's see if I remember this correctly, on my calendar, the pre-sales for the album will come out Wednesday, May 22nd. And the album drops officially on Friday, May 31st. And that's, you know, pouring years of hard work. So I'll keep promoting that.
Yeah.
So that's about it. Those are all our fun announcements. And if you want extra all stuff or more stuff and you want to donate to the show, I always appreciate it because it goes right back into the show. It's patreon.com/sportswithoutballs. $1, $2, $5, $10, $25, whatever you get to the show. There'll be extra content. I'm really excited for this new chapter. Thanks to all of you, Sports Without Balls fans, friends, family. Have the best week of your life.